Okay, you guys, are you ready for our third session? Oh man, this one is where the rubber meets the road. In fact, this is the one where we are going to step up to the call today, and we are going to write that message now. Yes. And I love it because it's right now, W-R-I-T-E, but it's also imperative that we write now. Okay, maybe I have not had enough caffeine to talk like this. Anyway, are you writing now? If not, can I ask you, what has held you back from writing? Are you waiting on a publisher to take the bait and give you an amazing book deal? Are you waiting to write that book before you begin your ministry or business? Are you waiting on the perfect timing, the perfect circumstances, the perfect finances? Are you doing everything but writing? Oh, beloved, it's time right now to write now. Yes, in this session, I want to share with you all the ways that you can write for the glory of God where you are. There will be no more waiting. Can you say that with me? No more waiting. No more putting it off. Yeah, come on. No more putting it off. No more excuses. No more excuses. Instead, today is the day that you're going to take your ideas and you're going to put them out there beginning today. Today is the day. And so first things first, what on earth do we do first? We want to write. We have ideas buzzing throughout our mind. What do we do first? Well, again, let me go back. I'm going to review a few things and we're going to pick up from there and make tracks. The first thing, of course, is to brainstorm your ideas. Yes, your ideas. What do you do with them? This is, again, going to make or break your business. This is going to make or break your ministry. So get them out of your brain and onto paper. Brain dump all of your ideas. Brain dump them into an idea notebook. It is going to be your key to success. It's going to be a key to developing your ideas. It's going to be a key to being able to pick up and make the most of little snippets of time that you're going to find along the way. So definitely keep a idea notebook, a notebook that you can keep with you and you can dump everything into. So you can carry it with you. You can be able to use it all along the way. This is going to be key if you want to focus, if you want clarity, if you want to keep those thoughts. This is key if you're developing those ideas. So make sure that you brain dump and you keep it in a notebook. The other thing was picking your very best idea. Which idea that we discussed in the last session, which of your ideas really fires you up? Is there any topic that you already have a lot of content, maybe on a blog, or maybe you already have written some things? I remember the very first thing that I did, my very first book, came after I had given a lot of my ideas on a forum and also more ideas in a newsletter that I had been doing out of my home. And whenever it came time to like gather everything up, I had a large amount of my content that was already pretty much ready just to touch up and put into an order to put together to develop a little bit more out, and then it was ready to go. So pick your very best idea. Maybe you've got some good content already out there. Go ahead and grab that. Use that one. That would be a great one for a first project just to get something done. And I have to reinvent the wheel. But whatever it is, take those ideas and pick your very best one. Then the next thing, you're going to brainstorm your chapters, your sections, your points. Let me just give you a quick, easy vision. This is not going to be something that you are likely to hear at a writer's conference, but this has worked for me. And I have a story behind what I'm about to tell you. The story comes from my husband's grandmother was one of my very, very best friends. And I remember one day I went to see her and I had been giving her like my little newsletters where I would give my sewing tips and tidbits. And she said, "Cindy, you ought to have these put into the newspaper." Well, ends up, didn't ask any questions. I did what Mama told me to do, and I submitted my my articles, my little ideas into the newspaper where they started a column. And that column actually got picked up by several magazines. And so that's kind of like the rest of my story was me writing. Well, but the rest of my story as far as writing a book was not just, it didn't just happen. I didn't go to a class or have some course or some publishing company come and teach me how to put it all together. What happened, she did. She told me one day, she said, you know, if you took all these articles and you put them together into a book, that would be a perfect book on sewing. And all of a sudden it came alive how simple and easy compiling a book was. She had given me a vision that she said, you know, maybe 10, 15 of these articles put together would be a very, very nice book. And it would be extensive on one topic. Well, you know what? Now that is the rest of the story. I ended up putting all my little sections that matched really well as topics, putting all those topics together into one book. And then I did it again and again and again. Here's the thing. If you've got a topic that you have developed through the course of, say, a blog, or you've been writing on it and written a bunch of different articles and things, take a look at those. See if any of those are going to work to put together your book, or to put together your ideas into a reprint book, or whatever that the project is that you would like to put together. But you know, that's all it takes. If you want to brainstorm a chapter, a section, and points, it's just a larger version than what you're brainstorming with your actual articles or with a certain idea. It's still the same concept. You've got an introduction, you've got a conclusion, and sandwiched in between that, you've got all the different key sections, all the secrets, all the keys, all the points. They're all combined in the middle. Isn't that easy? It is that easy. So brainstorm those chapters, sections, and points. Get your outline together. And here, by the way, I just want to say, don't skip outlining. Outlining is one of the keys that, to me, helps to develop my writing. And it helps me to think out all the steps, the details, the points. I don't readily just sit down and start writing and write a certain number of words a day. I've seen people say that's how they write, and that just makes my brain literally start to sizzle like a fried egg. And so I'm telling you, I can't do things like that. Instead, I like to plan it and get my points together, and then I hit it. And when I sit down to write, I write from the outline, I write from the ideas. I organize my points, I address the questions along the way, and then I write. Now, let me just mention here what writing looks like. My writing, what it looks like whenever I'm writing, I sit back, and I mentioned this in the last session, I sit back and I think about who I'm talking to, the person that I'm talking to, who will be reading my writing, and I really get a good look at who that person is. And then what I do is I write as if I'm having a conversation with that person, or as if I'm showing them step by step a certain process, or giving them step by step a series of teaching. That's what has helped me so much to be able to just write, is just having my voice. And my voice tends to be, and you can look at, ask yourself, like take some time aside to really ask yourself, what does my voice sound like? Who am I speaking to? Does my voice sound like I'm talking to them? Because I think the more clear you are on who is reading your writing, what they're like, what they're interested in, that they are interested in what you have to share, that they are needing certain things to be able to take the next step, the more you clarify that, the easier it's going to be for you to write. To me, the times where I felt blocked are when I really, first of all, did not have a vision for what my message was. But then secondly, when I didn't know who I was talking to. And so getting that clarified is going to help you to be able to write. And here's the thing, when you're writing, it's not going to be perfect. Why is that? Because the next step is making it great. What do you do to make it great? You're going to have to go through a series of really, really going back through that manuscript and seeing if it's got everything that it needs to include, if it says things the way it's supposed to, if maybe you're taking things for granted. I've told this to my children whenever they were writing, going back over every manuscript. It is very, very advantageous to go back over it and look and see if there's any words that you may have that are common that you may take for granted. Make sure to explain that. And so one of the processes of me proofreading my things is going back through and saying, okay, is there something here that maybe they don't know that I'm just taking for granted that they might know? Like right now, this that I'm telling you is something that would be easy for me to say, oh, proofread. But if I come back and I tell you, hey, this is what it looks like for me, and I explain that these are some of the ways that I proofread, then that, I believe, gives you a bigger picture of what you need to do. It's more than, you know, what you get when you're doing a paper for college or a paper for school. This is truly making sure that you are communicating clearly, that you're explaining, you're answering all the possible questions that someone could have. As a matter of fact, one thing that I've done before in my process of brain dumping is to think through what are all the questions someone would ask on this. Because if I can get down to all those questions and just like brainstorm those out, then I can go back and say, okay, this answers that question. This answers that question. And then I pretty much have a very effective piece of writing. So definitely during that process of proofreading or making it great, go one good time or several times through it, making sure that there's nothing that's not explained and defined. You know, I'm just going to give a good example. Christianity is infamous for us having our own little verbiage, our own little language. But to me, I remember once whenever I was studying through the word restoration, and I had heard it all my life, and my view of restoration was fixing something that was broke, but it didn't really have the fullness of the definition of it until I looked it up one day and realized that restoration is so much better. With God, the way He restores is that He goes in and He fixes the things that were broken in such a way that it was better, that it is better than it could have ever been if it had never been broken. So He has a way of making it up to us that something very bad has happened to us. Part of His personality is, and His character is, that He's long suffering, and by being, that He's loving kind. And by, when I'm saying loving kind, yes, we know He's loving. Yes, we know He's kind. But what we mean by loving kindness, that is His character quality, that's whenever you are going through a very difficult time, that He is always looking for a way to make it up to you. And when you unleash Him, He then gets into the process of restoration, which is literally making it better than it could have ever been before it was broken. What a picture that is. But you see, if I just went and threw out the word restoration during a talk and I didn't explain what that means, the people who come into there, into the teaching, they might listen to me and they might think, restoration, yeah, well, but God left me alone during this circumstance. He didn't stop this circumstance from happening to me. And they might get angry at God, and they may not see what God can do to turn around when the enemy attacks you. He knows the enemy's going to attack you. That was part of His grief in the garden and part of His concern with telling Adam and Eve, don't eat of this fruit. This fruit will take you where you don't want to go. It will do things in your life that you don't want to experience. And He knew that. He warned them not to eat of that fruit. But He also, in our life knows that we're going to sin, we're going to fall short, we're going to make mistakes, and yet He is a God of restoration. That is so deep. And being able to slow down and explain some concept like that, for example, helps our readers to really get it. It, I believe, takes what's inside your heart that you know that maybe you're not exploring or that you're taking for granted. It takes that and it puts it out there to really give the depth to your writing that you want to give it. So make sure to go through and go through it for grammar, for structure, for formatting. You're going to do lots of edits when you're writing. And in fact, there are a lot of people who are virtual assistants that can do some editing, and it doesn't really cost you a lot to get them loose on a manuscript. It pays for you to have someone take a good look at that, and you will want to do that, especially if you're going to self-publish your work. But you can do so much reading back through, studying back through, maybe letting someone else read through it, reading it aloud, doing all those basic things to make it great. And of course, hiring an editor would help, and so don't leave that out. But make sure to give yourself some time to really go through that writing. You are going to be amazed at how much better your writing is going to be if you will take the time to make sure that everything is really gone over for many points of making it great. Next thing, what do you do with it? Well, any of your ideas, I'm telling you, the sky's the limit. You can put your ideas into ebooks or books. You can put your ideas, break up those ideas into articles, or you can even use it to run as articles in like an e-zine or a newsletter or a magazine. You can use it for website content. You can use your writing as for blog or guest blogging. You can use it as free content in membership sites. You can use it to submit to magazines and newspapers. You can use it as a special report. You could use it like collecting based on a topic into reprint books. I've done that. My newsletters that I produced month after month online, I put those in, and they had, by the way, been free. People could subscribe for free, but I remember taking those and putting them together in a book. And do you know, to date, those reprint books for Time for Tea and Homeschooling the Easy Way are still some of my top selling books that I have. Don't underestimate, people pay for convenience. Having everything in a spot, having everything clearly lined out, having everything in a certain organized manner. So don't take that gift that you have for granted, because people can find a lot of help if you will put it all together for them. So reprint books, you could do devotionals. I mean, man, there is such a need for devotionals, and having even like a devotional e-zine would be nice. You could do e-zine submissions for other online magazines. You could create e-courses or booklets. If you wanted, you could create content that is sold with private label rights. That people could use for content for their blogs, or they can use it for books or whatever. And you could actually have a business. I have several of my friends who have monthly recurring income because they produce private label rights. My tongue is wanting to twist a little on that. But they have PLR, or private label rights, that they sell to people so that people can buy their articles. They can change them however they want to change them. They can put them in different formats that they allow. And it's a wonderful recurring income that they have. So that might be a thing that you could do with your writing. You could create an information product and promote that as even a high-ticket coaching program. I have a coaching program that I run usually four times a year. We are about to have it again in a few weeks, that we will do 4 weeks leading up to Good Friday. And it's from idea to information product to profitable and very successful business. If you're catching this at any other time during the year, hey, you're never left out. You could join that for the very next session, or you could look at, and this is an idea, you could look at doing the personal study or the do-it-yourself study on the side. And then the next time that it comes back around, you could join in to the live group. And so you could make a high dollar focused live group coaching out of some of your teaching that you have, some of the writing that you have. You could do booklets. You could do, You could do a study manual that could have companion audios that you record, or even it could be by itself for that matter. But you could do a set that would include your writing, maybe an audio explaining it, or an audio teaching it, or it could even come with videos. You could do messages that are spoken, podcasts, seminars, audios, workshops, and interviews. I was mentioning earlier about my friend that she writes out every single topic that she records, but she records it also by audio format. You could do that as well. You could create planning pages and planners where you help walk someone through a process. You could create Bible studies or checklists or to-do sheets or tutorials. The bottom line to this, I probably didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg there. But the bottom line is that if you have ideas, there's no reason to keep waiting. No reason to keep putting things off. No more excuses. Just take those ideas and put them out there today. Today's the day to write now. Oh, so what do you do? What do you do to really make it pop? Well, I want to share some secrets to setting yourself apart and making things pop. The first thing that I would suggest is, again, taking that time with God. I mentioned it in the last session of getting in the Word, communing with Him, taking time to let Him speak to you and teach you. You know, in school, in my bachelor's program, one of the things they taught us was that 90 to 96% of what you study for a topic, if you're preparing a sermon, you're preparing a series, you are getting ready to teach or preach or whatever it is that you're getting ready, up to 96% of that is, get this, for you. Did you hear me? It is for you. It's stuff that never, ever is going to come from the pulpit. It's stuff that's never, ever going to go into print. Why? Because that's the blessing of being the person that God will use, being a vessel God can use. You are filled up first and foremost, and then you have something to overflow into the lives of others. So you will be the fuel all along the journey. You will be inspired so much that you have much to share. You will always have great content. You'll have real wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to share. You'll have real, relevant, and working answers because you live it out. You will always have a word for the weary. You'll always be original. You'll always be on the cutting edge. You will always be operating on overflow, not tired, weary, wore out, frazzled, empty, obsolete. Best of all, God's going to lead, guide, and direct you all along the way. Take time with God. We learned in college that it's personal before it's public. So whatever you get is going to have to first be a personal thing for you before it can truly be effective and helpful in the public eye. It's also going to have to be your private things right before it gets into the public. It's got to first be for you. So take your time with God. Get in the Word. Commune with Him. Take time to let Him speak and teach you. And then you'll be operating with an anointing that's going to be amazing. The next thing is develop the disciplines of a successful writer. You know what? Successful writers, pretty much, if you could get them and pull them aside. In fact, I've done many interviews with amazing writers. They all have the same disciplines. They all. As a matter of fact, people I've seen who do not have the disciplines, they may get started, but they burn out because these things make a huge, huge difference. So what am I talking about? Again, taking time with God, becoming a reader, a lifelong learner, brain dumping, keeping their ideas in notebooks. Do you know, it's interesting to me, Robert Louis Stevenson, who is one of the most prolific writers through history, he said he always had three books with him. One was a book he was reading. One was a book in which he was writing, copying quotes and ideas, taking notes, in other words. The next was something he was working on and writing himself. You guys, it is so important that we develop those disciplines. These are not things that are just extra if we get time. If we don't have the time for discipline, we don't have the time to be a writer. And I'm just being real. Those disciplines are going to make it to where when you sit down to write, you have good content. You have valuable content. You have content that is literally revelation, not just an idea. It's things that you can impart to other people. So these disciplines make a difference. So keep an idea notebook. Use those to-do lists. One of the things I did, and this is just to throw this out, we've got some studies that are coming up that we're going to be digging into the how-tos. I have a membership that's coming up where you can join, and every month you will be able to get monthly topics that we're going to take action, and we're going to be inspired and take action. So in there are lots of how-tos for getting things done. But one of the biggest tips I have that helps me whenever I'm working on something, I have a to-do list of things that are steps of how to get something done. Like if I am producing a book and getting it ready to go to launch, instead of having to reinvent the process or possibly forget something or be held up because I don't know what's next and I have something I forgot to do along the way, I like having all of my steps in a to-do sheet so that I can follow the instructions step by step by step. Start to do to-do lists. That's something that successful writers do. It helps them to be able to do things effectively and quickly. Also, write every single day. There are days I don't know where I'm going to start writing. I'll not really have a clear vision, or I won't really know exactly how to get my words going. So you know what I do? I tend to do blogging, or I may do a little social media where I'll share a little something. By the time I do that, then automatically, it's like there's something really flowing, and I can then hop in and work and actually write what I'm needing to write. But write every single day. There's something about the momentum, and today you may just start out for 5 minutes writing. But one thing I would love to encourage you guys to be doing at minimum is eventually be working on your business 1 hour a day. That has been one of my secrets, just what you can do in 1 hour a day. If it's writing a book, or if it's working on getting your business organized, or whether it's getting healthy, whatever it is that you need to do, if you are not getting it done, give it that 1 hour a day challenge to where you can do that work every single day. And if writing is not getting done, definitely carve out an hour. You can start right now with 5 minutes today. I know it's not a habit, but when you do this 5 minutes a day for 31 days, you're going to find yourself in the habit. And you're going to find also that your time is growing, because the hardest step is the first step you take. I remember when I first started running years ago, the hardest thing was getting on my shoes during that first month. I'm serious. Once I had them laced up and I had everything ready to go, I had no problem getting out there and doing it. But you know what held me back? It was like, oh, I didn't bring my shoes to town. Oh, I don't have my iPod at that time. Now I have an Apple Watch. But oh, I didn't have my iPod all charged up and ready to go. I mean, I had so many excuses that I wasn't getting it done, but I was having to overcome my flesh and overcome my resistance and overcome my fears. And when I finally said, okay, I'm going to have all my stuff together and point blank, even no matter what I do, I'm going to change into those shoes and lace those shoes up. By the time I did that, it is so funny. I always was able to go and get the run in. But it's that first few minutes. It's that overcoming that resistance. I love Brené Brown. She has a topic. It's what is the name of that book? I don't remember the name of the book. But it's basically her 5-4-3-2-1. She said, anything that you're thinking you need to do, like right now writing, what I would suggest is the minute that we close this up, or you may want to go ahead and do it right now. Isn't that funny? Topic is right now. But before you get resistance rolling and excuses rolling, go ahead and start. You may be right now listening to me and you could be brain dumping anything that's popping through your head that you're needing to write on. Keep that, you know, it's not like I wouldn't be doing it. If I were listening to someone teaching, more than likely I've got my notebooks in there and I would probably have that notebook wide open and I would be brain dumping some little ideas while I was listening. Those are secrets to great success. If you were to talk to writers who have done this for the long haul, you're going to find that that's what they do. You pull out any writer's magazine or book and somewhere they're going to say, write every single day. Now, some may say crazy things that to me don't work. Okay, let me back up. I just said crazy things. I just qualified this as totally crazy. But to me, being told to write a certain number of things a day, like in a certain number of pages or a certain number of words, that makes me go, ugh, I can't do it. It's just beyond me. But if you tell me, hey, why don't we write a topic? Let's start writing one chapter, one idea. Oh, if it's a page or if it's 10 pages, I can do that. Because if I can get my heart started pouring out, it just comes. It comes natural. I find those are the secrets to the ones who have really written for the long haul. So write every day. Another discipline of successful writers is hanging out with big thinkers. Now, let me just say this. It's not an accident that you see certain writers that you go, oh, all of them, they're all famous. And they all hang out. It's probably because they all know each other because they're famous. Maybe, maybe not. The funny thing is, most of the time, the people that I've tended to hang with, I hung with them long before I became what they are. And I have many of my friends that have hung out with me through the years. They are very prolific writers. And it's because they hung out with me. They saw how easy it was for me. I think they just knew they could do it. You know, hang out with big thinkers. It's going to change how you do what you do. Also, learn the art. Writing is an art. It is an art. It's that place where you can be completely creative. And that is a discipline. It's not just something that just you come up with. And it is who you are, but it's not always who you are. When you're learning the art, you've got some discipline that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to stretch yourself into a place that you're not at any. And I have to stretch myself. Today, I'm stretching myself in areas that I have not just possessed myself. I'm always learning, always growing, always expanding. Writing gives you that opportunity. I learned some things just today in having a meeting with one of my friends, a fellow entrepreneur. I learned some things. I was like, man, she took me up level. But that's what I'm saying. Learn the art. Constantly be learning. Constantly find ways that you can grow, expand, and hone it all. And you know what? You will find that you develop the disciplines of a successful writer. Another secret to success is building a business. Now listen, not just a book. Inevitably, there's probably some of you who've joined me for this and you've had in your heart that you just want to write one book. Just one book. And in your heart, you think, wow, this will be my one thing. It'll be my bestseller. And maybe you have that pile of rejection letters that's as high as the and as thick as your manuscript. Let me tell you, one of the secrets to really being a success is being able to build a business, not just a book. That means that all those ideas I gave you a few moments ago of what you could do with your ideas, that those help you to take those same ideas and expand them or hone them, clarify them, and make them into whole different, completely different products from the different ideas that you share. It helps you to really camp on one topic here and there, here and another topic here. And before you know it, you have got a whole list of products that you've got. You don't just have one type of thing. And in fact, let me just mention this. There are times that I love to sit down to a great book. And then there's times where I just don't have the time. And there's benefits in having like a simple to-do sheet. There's benefits in having a simple little quick read that you can read for in 20 minutes and that you can get an idea and implement it. I've recently been doing a study. One of my favorite people that I love learning from her is Carrie Wilkerson. And I just last week, she did a series that was on email marketing. And it was just a 5-day free series that she put together. And you guys, I'm telling you, I knew I've done email marketing. I've got email marketing a whole series just like this one that we're doing here, an intensive on email marketing. I do that. But you know what? I picked up some things listening to her that were fresh and different and new. You know, it means that we have to be open to keep on learning and keep on growing. And the funny thing is, I know she's got bigger sets. I've even bought some of the different sets that she's produced before. But there was something about the freshness of that quick little 5-day study to just refresh and to give fresh ideas. So, you know, you can do the same thing. Think about building a business, not just a book. Keep your work, repurpose it, dig deeper, expand those ideas. Use that in blogging, use it in social media, use it in courses that get so deep that you're even building coaching programs from it. But build a business, not just a book. Another thing, and I mentioned this earlier, is build your name. Build your name, not just a book, not just a niche, not others. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people are mommy bloggers and they do make great money promoting other people. But can I just tell you guys, the greatest, greatest thing you'll ever do is build your name and build you as your brand, not the topic you're teaching on today. I've written probably 75 or 80 of my books were specifically on homeschooling. And right now, my kids, my daughter is the baby and she's 29. The son is 32. Both of them are now, my son is now homeschooling his kids. So I am long past when I was homeschooling my children. And honestly, today I just talked to a sweet family and counseled them on, you know, balancing homeschooling and making things easy and getting things done and staying organized in their homeschool. But deep down, it's kind of like past that season a little bit for me. Now, do I come in as a grandmother? Yes. And like a spiritual mother? Yes. But you know what? I don't know all the latest and greatest things that are going on in homeschooling. I don't know half of the people that are now your speakers and writers in that area. So, you know what? If I were only homeschooling, I would be out of writing. I'd have no future. But you know what? I bet if I were a betting girl, I would put some money on this one. I'm not a betting girl, by the way. But I would imagine some of you have followed me since you were homeschooling your kids, and you're not there anymore. You're right here alongside of me, and we are still in this journey moving forward. Can I just give you just permission to build yourself, build the things you're interested in today? Dig in and share your passion, but in the process, build your name, build your community, build your clientele that are going to go with you on the journey. Don't put yourself in some little itty bitty tiny spot. I believe in being focused and disciplined, but I don't believe in putting yourself in a box, putting yourself with lids on, having yourself in a place that you are stuck and you can't move forward because you're so zoned in as being known for only one thing. And so build your name. Also, next thing is so important. I know I began home writing when I was homeschooling the kids. I was traveling all over. I was balancing being a wife, a mother. I was balancing serving in my local church. I was balancing a lot of stuff. But can I tell you that I had to learn very quick that if I was going to be a success, if I was going to be able to step into my calling, I had to let go of any and all hindrances and distractions. Can I tell you, we all have them. You would not believe the hindrances and distractions I have had today. Today, knowing that I needed to finish my prepping, I needed to take some time for us to do this class, I needed to be prepared. But you know what? I had crisis situations pop up. I had distractions. I had people that needed things. I had my work that was going long throughout the day. I had just so much going on. And you know what? It would be easy for me to let those things hold me back from moving forward. We all have those hindrances, distractions, obstacles, crisis situations. We all have to say yes to some things and say no to some things. We all have time wasters that we have to say, nope, this is wasting my time, or this is not the best use of my time, and we have to say goodbye to that. We have things that are really good things for a season, but if we're going to step into our calling, we're going to have to let go of those good things so we can do the very best things. So it's time to pull back and ask the Lord what you are to do, what only you are to do, and let these other things go. If every single time you sit down to work on the project, you're having crisis situations, can I just ask you if you are allowing those situations to sabotage? Are you using that as your resistance to moving forward? We've got to get really honest about what it is we're supposed to be about. And also, anything that does not help us work towards that has to go. Anything. And so here, by the way, that's not saying you're not going to be a godly wife and a godly mother. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? Your children can be your very best helpers. You can still write even with children at home. You can still do the things that are you're called to do. You don't have to wait till the perfect timing. This is all about you letting the Lord take care of you and letting Him take care of your enemy. Let God show you how the enemy holds you back and what God wants you to do and to share. Let God show you the enemy's MO or mode of operation in your life. Let God show you how to navigate around the obstacles that are in your way, the sabotage that you do, so you have answers. Man, that may be your next book. So, no more holding back. Let go of any of those distractions and hindrances. Also, guard your time like it is a precious treasure, because you know what? It is. It totally is your greatest resource. I have a series I did years ago, and we're going to probably do it again coming up in the very near future because I need a fresh recording of it. And eventually, hopefully, it will be a book. But it's called Trash, Trinkets, and Treasures. And you guys, the bottom line from that is that if you're looking at how you spend your time, there's going to be things that are just total trash. They don't amount to anything. They're things that should never have taken your time. They're just things that are total time wasters. But then there's also going to be trinkets. And what I call trinkets are the good things, the things that really almost take up space, that and they take up resources, they take up energy of that should be given to your real treasures. Your real treasures are the things that you know what? If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't step in, and if you're not serving as a wife, as a mother, if you're not serving as a spiritual mentor when God brings that person to you that you're to mentor, if you're not being available for God to use you along the way, guess what? You're missing the treasures. Those are the things that you don't get back. Man, you'll get plenty of the good things. Man, the options are always there to do lots of good stuff. But the things that really matter are the things that nobody else can do that for you. And you know what? It's not going to get done. And you're not going to find that the really good, the really excellent things are things that are going to be easy for you to do. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to be focused. You're going to have to make every day count. You're going to have to guard your time to make that happen. Because you know what? There's going to be a battle for that. Those are the things that really matter. I get to thinking about it too. And I think all of the areas that really matter are things that there's such a plethora of ideas and ways to do it. There are so many ways that they tell you that you can lose weight. And yet, think about it. It really matters that we lose our weight and that we get healthy. And without that, we don't have the full life that we really want to live. We don't have an abundant life. I know right now my health has suffered. I had a kidney stone back in June, and I have been so sedentary because what happened is I had a reaction to the antibiotics that they gave me. And you talk about being sick for some time. I am just now getting to where I'm feeling better. You know what? My health, seeing that happen, I saw just how vital it is to everything I do, everything that I love to do. It's vital. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of things that are going to come up. It's funny how I can have so many options of things to do instead of go work out. I have so many ideas, so many things there, and that's what I'm talking about. The things that really matter, you're going to find that there are going to be some things vying for that time, the things that really matter. You're going to find that there's going to be a lot of trash, there's going to be a lot of trinkets, but we're called to do the main thing, to do the eternal, to focus on the treasures. Dig in today and make every single day count towards getting those things that are on your heart, that are your messages, into print. Don't put off what you need to do, not even one day without one thing moving forward. Even if it is just one thing, that's good. Come on. I think that as we take that baby step, all the other steps are a lot easier to take. So get to know your priorities. Know what you're supposed to be about. Decide today that you're going to stick to those things and you're going to let all this other good stuff go. Let me just tell you, I've heard, I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, the enemy of the very best are the good things. It's those things that seem like they're harmless. They seem like really great opportunities, but they are vying for the very best of you. So be sure to guard your time like it is a precious treasure. You don't get it back. You have only a small amount of time, and you have many, many options. Choose the very best. Also, stay focused. I mentioned focus earlier, but focus is going to be your key to success. You've got to know who you are. And you've got to stay true to that. You've got to take that time for solitude and quiet times so that you know who you're about who you are, what you're supposed to be about, but also you know what you're supposed to share. You've got to do this. Don't chase trends or the money. I know I've said that numerous times, but the reason I've said it is because I've seen so many people get off track and use their precious time basically creating things that are, by the time they get it out, is a past thing, and they don't have success. And they wonder, why is it that I'm not having success on my topic? This was a really big seller. I thought this idea was great. Well, by the time you got the idea from somebody else, it was a past trend. If you want to be on the cutting edge again, you're going to have that time with God. And you're going to have those topics He downloads through your life, through your heart, through your gifts and talents, your bents, the things that are in your hand. So stay focused on that. Another thing that I think really, really helps is taking time to plan. And I throw a lot of this into this. One of the things I do that really helps, I try every single week to have about an hour at minimum of being able to sit down and go through plans. I brain dump, then I look at the projects, the things that I can work on during the week. I set a goal, one thing usually at minimum, that if I finish only that one thing, I'm a success. Sometimes I'll go ahead and add a second and a third in case I have some time open. But like this week, I've had no extra time open. And I had my one thing that I set out to do this week. And it's helped to take the pressure off knowing that, you know what, if I get this done, this is where I have success. But then if I do the other things, if I have some extra time, those things are waiting, or they can go on into next week. But it's just making sure that I have a plan, because you know they say that if you do not plan, then really what you're doing is planning to fail. So make sure to have a plan. Also, I recommend setting some deadlines. To me, there's a lot of this stuff that if I don't have a deadline, I am not a person to typically procrastinate. It's just that I have a lot of things going on. And if I don't have a deadline, a hard deadline every single month or every week I have hard deadlines. But if I don't have those deadlines, you know what? It's easy to let days and weeks and months and even years start going by. And then you're not doing the thing that you're called to do. And then you get stuck because then you don't know how to do it. So I really challenge you to set some deadlines. Maybe you already probably know the very thing that is your first thing you need to be doing to build your business, to write the book, to do the next project. Why not set a deadline for it and be true to yourself? I'm not saying set deadlines you can't meet, because I think there's just so much you can take of setting a deadline and not following through. It's almost like a way of lying to yourself or not having full integrity with yourself. So I think it's very important to be careful about setting deadlines, but I want to challenge you to dare to set some deadlines. Make some of them very, very stringent to where if you have to stay up late one night to get it done, that you do it. If you have to get up early for several days in a row to make it happen, that you make it happen. Don't fail yourself. Don't get in a place where you just let yourself take a number down the list of priorities. Instead, make some time, set some deadlines, and make this thing happen. Okay, and then finally on tips, my final tip for you to make yourself a success is to invest in yourself and your business and ministry regularly. You know, the more you invest in yourself and your ministry or business, the better it's going to be. But you know what? You're only going to be as great as what you invest. You know, one of the reasons I pay for coaching myself is because I know that there are people out there that have what I want. And if I don't have a way to really get around people who are going to stretch me, I'm going to just stay stagnant. I will surround myself with people that want to be what I am, and then I'm not becoming greater. So I believe that it is very important to invest in yourself. That's one of the reasons I believe in coaching. That it has helped me so much to have people that stretch me, give me some deadlines, that challenge me to do more than I think I can do. I think it's so important. I have had health coaches. I've had business coaches. I've had ministry coaches. I've had relationship coaches. And I'm telling you, in all areas, and maybe there are other areas that you're needing help too, find someone that has what you want and invest in that time that you need to spend with them. If it's a coach that charges for coaching, invest in it. Do you know that the ROI, or the return on your investment, when you spend your money and your time with someone that is really getting something done, you start to stretch yourself into everything that you should be. That is priceless for your ROI. You are going to find that just working with that one person, if they stretch you in the course of a month to finish your project, what would it have been like without them? I'm just thinking about some of my recent coaching investments, and I'm thinking, you know what? They were the people who kind of called me on my crap. You know, why was I making things hard? Why couldn't things be easy? You know, I got to thinking about something that kind of rang in my head. My days years ago when I got the most done, I kept it simple, sweet, and easy. I constantly worked about it. I didn't sit around thinking, well, what if nobody buys it? What if, on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? I got it done. So invest in yourself. You are worth it. Your message is worth it too. You know, God is worth it. You know, I had a friend of mine that I was talking to today. She's so precious. We were talking about investing in what we do. And she said that one of the things that the Lord had really convicted her about was spending the same amount she tithes to the church, but taking that money and investing it into her business. She said that she needed some graphic work done on her business. And she said, this is stretching her financially. Nobody says, oh, wow, I've got double that to be able to spend. But she's taking that and investing it in her business. And you know what? Here's the bottom line. When you take and you invest in things, I believe it naturally is going to propel you to step up. And there are going to be things that you need to do with your business. I know there are. There's things I need to do with my business. But you know what? That when I will put my money on the line and I will invest in it, then you know what? I'm more than likely going to get things done. There's something about that just holds me accountable. You know what? When you invest in yourself and your business, you're going to find that you're going to stretch. You're going to grow. It's going to be worth it. And so invest in yourself and your business and ministry. And so finally, my last thing, if I have nothing else to share with you guys, I want to challenge you that with all the things we've talked about, you're probably saying, well, what do I do with all this? Stick with me on this one. I have only 2 points, and these are so huge. If you get this, I believe you're going to be off running strong. You're never going to look back. This will be that one thing that's kind of like the line in the sand, the moment where you had to do something and really step it up and step out. I believe this is going to be that pivotal moment for you. The first thing is to step up to your call. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. This is one of my favorite verses. In fact, I'm trying to memorize this one. It says in Ephesians 4 in the Message Bible, beginning in verses 1 through 3, it says, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want for you to get out there and walk better yet. And walk, better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want any of you strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. My sweet friends, today's the day. Now, this year, this month, this week, today. No more getting excited and not doing it. Hello. No more getting started and quitting. No more of that. No, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want any of you strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, just like we've said today. No fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You, yes, you. You're the one. You're the one that they need. You, only you have a message. Only you can share that message. God is calling you to share your message now. Yes, your message. Has the enemy hit you? Which gates did he come into in your life? What have you learned about life, about God? What do you want others to know as they walk through this? What is your message? More than likely, your greatest testimony is going to come from your greatest test. More than likely, your greatest message is going to come from your biggest mess. Not because God was zapping you. Far from that, my friend. He's not capable of evil, much less bringing evil into your life. So you need to doctrinally know that is not good theology to think God did it. No, but God can restore it. God can make everything brand new, better than it was before. He does promise us that every single thing that we ever will go through, everything can be turned around and used for his purpose, his message through you. Does that make you excited? It does me. Romans 8:28 in the Amplified Bible says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Oh, my friends, step up to the call. Of course, this is after this very next point. And this is my last thing I'm going to leave you with. Let God loose to work in you. Can you do that? Inevitably, this is the bottom line. I want today for you to soak in one big truth that's going to radically change your business. Actually, it'll change you radically, and everything in your life will radically change, including your business. Yes, God loves you. He longs for you. He desires you. One of the elders in my church here in Nashville, Michael W. Smith, recently preached a sermon that just popped with me. He quoted one of my favorite writers, Brennan Manning, and he said, and I'm telling you guys, I've always loved Brennan's work. It just draws me into the heart of God. However, his book, The Furious Longing of God, is just radically different from any book I've ever read, and besides the Bible, of course. But it's based on one simple passage of scripture, the Song of Solomon 7:10. It says, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. My sweet friend, I think this truth can change one more thing. Yes, it can take us from our mundane, everyday lives and propel us smack dab in the middle of God's will for us. That calling to write for the glory of God. It gives us a heart for those who are wounded, hurting, broken, and crying out for someone who just cares. Someone who cares about them. Who cares enough to stop and help. It gives us truth that everyone is looking for. Answers, directions, comfort, and encouragement. Brennan Manning says, every Christian knows that God loves him or her. Unfortunately, that fact often remains a tenet of the mind. And until it gets into your heart, it remains information. But once it gets into your heart, It results in transformation. Yes. Look at Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. It says in the New American Standard Bible, this is Paul's prayer, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 17 through 18 in the Amplified says, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, meaning settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which it far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled with all your being unto the fullness of God. May you have all the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Soak this in. I love it in the Message. It says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you may be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths and rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Is that good? Brendan Medding, in his books, The Furious Longing of God, talks about this passage of Scripture. He says, do you hear what Paul is saying? The love of Christ is beyond knowledge. We've got to let go of our impoverished, circumcised, traditionalist, legalistic human perceptions of God and open ourselves to the God and Jesus Christ. If we will, the promise is that we will be filled up with the fullness of God. That is truly good news. And my sweet friend, this is the news that Isaiah 61 is talking about, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and you. Because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison to the and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of the heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they, this is what a legacy you're building, that those you're pouring into, that they shall rebuild the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Oh, yes. Aliens shall stand ready and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. People will speak of you as ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and the glory once that of your captors shall be yours. Instead of your former shame, you shall have twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double what they have forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong with violence or a burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant or league with them. And their offspring shall be known among the nations, their descendants upon the people, among the people. All who see them in their prosperity will recognize and acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for He's clothed me with garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as surely as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring forth, so surely the Lord God will cause rightness and justice and praise to spring forth before all the nations through the self-fulfilling power of His word. My sweet friends, our culture needs this like never before. But it begins with us. We must know this. We must understand this. We must get this. We have to have this as ours. Then we must take it into the enemy's camp and set the captives free. But first, let God loose to work in you, to root and ground you in love, so you will know the love of Christ, so you will be filled with the fullness of God. Let this first be on your heart, is what Deuteronomy 6 says. Then set the captives free. Let me wrap up with one more quote from Brennan Manning's book, The Furious Longing of God. Don't you think you must get that one now? Yeah, he says, you're blessed. God's desire is for you. And Jesus is the incarnation of God's furious longing. He is your supreme lover. It's true. You are blessed. Your soul's winter is over. The snows are over and gone. Flowers are blooming inside of you. The season of joyful songs has come to you. You're blessed. The love of God is folly. No one is excluded. All, really, really, all are called to the banquet table. Come and be filled. You are blessed. You be beautiful. Be you. Just be. Love supports you. You are blessed. You have learned the purpose of life, which is love. You're blessed. You can pray like a child and enjoy God. You are blessed. Heal and be healed. Reclaim affirmations for the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, amen. Go now, beloved brothers and sisters, aflame with what you know to do. Love. Don't keep silent. Don't keep quiet until righteousness goes forth like brightness and salvation is a torch burning. Until all nations see your righteousness and all kings your glory, you will be called the evidence of God's love in this world. Invite all to God's feast of furious love. Do as the Master commands. Go out once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. That's from Luke 14:21, New American Standard Version. Bring them starving, bring them bleeding and broken. Drag them to the banquet, wretched and raggedy as they are. Sit them at the table, though they mourn and weep, necks bent and heads hung low. Go in love, go in love, go because of love. How else will they know our good God? How else will we? By this, men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13:35. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this series. I thank you for this time that we have had together. And Lord, I believe that you are knocking on the door. You are firing up the bush for some of us. You're calling. You're calling gently. Step up to the call. You have such a furious love for us, such a furious longing for us. You are our supreme lover. You are the love of our life. No one's excluded. We can all come to the banquet table. We can come, we can be filled, and Lord, then you can use us. Your love will support us. It goes with us. It goes out there crying out to those that are hurting with answers. Lord, use us. Use us. Uncover and develop our messages. Show us who we are. Show us how you've gifted us. Show us what you want for us to do. Help us to go out to the hurting, the wounded, the broken, the despairing. Move in us to step up. Help us to set our life apart as a offering to you. Show us your love, your answers, your comfort. Take us out there to help set the captives free. Oh Lord, I thank you that those who just thought they were called to write are not just called, they are equipped. They are empowered. God, thank you. You're so good. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We magnify you. And we thank you so much for all you've done through the life of Jesus Christ, through the death of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've given us a story to go and tell. And Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I lift you on high. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you guys, thank you for joining me. This has been a blast. And I just want to invite you to connect with me. Go check me out at cindyrushton.com. Go and join my community on Facebook. We are having a blast. Our community is called Stepping Up to the Call. If you can't find it because it is a private group, go and message me through Messenger or even email me through my website, and I'll be sure to add you over there. I am at Cindy Rushton, R-U-S-H-T-O-N. I have a page there on Facebook. Come and join me. Share me with your friends. And if you have a project you're working on that you need somebody to join in, hey, you never know. Pitch it to me. We might can be a partner on something awesome you're working on. Or if you've got something amazing to offer for my audience, I have podcasts that I'm always looking for guests. I have events that I'm looking for speakers. So I have different projects that I'm always working on, even with writing projects. So let's connect. Let's grow. Let's become community. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.